Hello, I'm joining you from a hotel room in Nebraska. I had a speaking event yesterday at the University of Nebraska, and I don't know if anyone listening is from the Midwest, but they say Nebraska nice is like a thing, and I have just felt so welcome here. I had such a lovely time. But I have some chill time at the hotel room. My plane doesn't leave until later this morning, and I was like, let me make sure I go ahead and get this podcast episode ready for tomorrow. And today, you guys know I don't talk about politics. It's not something I really like to talk about at all. But my guest today wrote a book on giving women on college campuses a voice who might have conservative mindset. So I am not going to always say the extremes are wrong, both extremes. If we say extreme conservative or extreme liberal, I think the beauty is in the messy middle. I think we need to hear from both sides. I'm definitely, when it comes to political candidates, I like to choose the one who looks most like Jesus. I don't care what color they wear, what party they're with. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of good choices. But anyways, we're not necessarily talking about politics. We are just helping women who might have more conservative mindsets on a college campus not feel alone, not feel left out, help you know that you have a voice. And she wrote a book on it. So this is a really good interview, and I hope this gives you some encouragement.
If you are in your 20s hoping there is more to life than boys and Bacardi, you are in the right place. Katie Ballmer has been a keynote speaker to over 60 colleges nationwide, encouraging 20-somethings to realize their worth, find their calling, and not date dirtbags. But seriously, Katie is an author, viral TikTok creator, wife, mom of two girls, and your adopted aunt that you never knew how bad you needed. Ready to have some real conversation tackling the hottest topics? This is the Truth for Your 20s podcast.
Katie, great to join you.
Yes, thank you for being here. We're going to dive into all the things, but first, if you can just kind of give us like a, 50,000 foot view, who is this lovely lady on the other side of our earbuds?
Yes. So as you mentioned, my name is Karen, and I started the Network of Enlightened Women, known as NEW, as an organization for conservative women. And I started it when I was a student in college at the University of Virginia. I had interned up in Washington, D.C. So any of your ladies who are thinking about interning, I highly recommend it. It can really change your trajectory of college and even your career. So I interned in D.C., really enjoyed that experience, and returned back to UVA looking for an environment like what I had found in D.C. I went to the Women's Center and then scheduled an appointment with one of the faculty member there and ask if she might, and the Women's Center might be interested in co-sponsoring a new group for conservative women. And she just looked at me like I was crazy, chuckled, and said, "Not here." And that's when I decided that I needed to create my own community for conservative women, because I think community is so important to all of us, but especially at that stage as young, college women trying to navigate, life's challenges and lots of different decisions. It's really important to have that community. So that's when I started to work on NEW, and it's now grown to more than 50 college campuses around the country and a really robust community for young women.
And now you have a book that you wrote about it specifically for college women, The Conservative Women's Guide to College. So this is a new book. Tell me how that all came to be.
Well, it's fascinating. In the years in running NEW, Katie, I feel like I receive a lot of the same questions. I imagine you have that experience too, going out and speaking on college campuses. A lot of times you get some of those similar questions back and forth. And I realized that it would be really helpful to college women, especially college freshmen, if they had some type of guidebook and some type of resource that laid out some of the common problems, common challenges that young women face, and then provided some strategies. So not necessarily telling them what they should do, but laying out what they're going to face and then giving them some strategies. So that's what I did in this book, You're Not Alone, The Conservative Woman's Guide to College. It's available on Amazon, and it's there to be a tool and a resource for young women navigating campus life. And Katie, one of the things I did in it is I featured a lot of voices of women who've been involved in NEW as college students, either currently or recently graduated, because I think their voices are very powerful and their stories are empowering for readers to learn from and be mentored from.
Yes. And I'm glad you mentioned that. I want to, if you could share some of those stories, because I'm a big fan of story. I always say our stories are our greatest offering. So what are you finding when you're going to campuses? Like, what are some of these young women's stories?
Well, the challenge, Katie, is that it's not like there's just one area that they have to watch out for, or, you know, one specific group of people. The challenge is that the atmosphere on campus is often very lonely for conservative women. So even though the stats show that, you know, women, 58% of women in college self-identify as liberal, whereas 15% identify as conservative, it often feels for some of these women like it's 90 plus percent are liberal. So it feels kind of lonely for them. And then even in things like dating life, there's some challenges. So there's a Generation Lab Axios polling of 850 college students nationwide found that 71% of Democrats on campus wouldn't go on a date with, and 37% of Democrats wouldn't be friends with someone who voted for the opposing presidential candidate, which was a larger, you know, those numbers are bigger than among Republicans. 31% wouldn't go on a date with, and 5% would not be friends with someone who voted with the opposing presidential candidate.
Interesting.
So it's interesting because it these different views, being a conservative, it impacts not just some of those faculty relationships, but also the social atmosphere. So you mentioned, you know, some stories. One of the women in the book, Peyton Smith, mentions being in her constitutional law class, and a professor asked the students about adding another justice to the Supreme Court. And she got called on and said she was against this. And her professor said to be careful in a way that just didn't seem right. Right. It seemed like he was trying to censor her view or to try to make her keep her view quiet. And so we find that sometimes there's pressure to censor in the classroom, but also from students. I mentioned one of the students in there from a previous book that I edited, She's Conservative, Stories of Trials and Triumphs on America's College Campuses. And in this book, I featured a student, Grace Bannister at Harvard, who's from West Virginia. And she had decided before she even stepped foot on campus that she was going to keep her views quiet for fear that she wouldn't make friends. Which is sad, right? Like that you feel like you can't be yourself because you're worried about the friendship. Eventually, her roommate figured out her views and attributed it to her like upbringing in West Virginia, and it just was uncomfortable, right? And so I think there's this pressure in the classroom and from other students that's out there. And I can share more stories if you'd like.
Yeah, I would love to. I just find this interesting. I've heard stories of, as we have lots of conversations about being inclusive and being diverse, and I'm here for that. And I think that we all are on paper, but when it comes to having an opposite from the mainstream viewpoint, if you will, it's not okay. And it's like, how dare you? And you can't have friends and you better watch yourself. The professor is telling you. So yeah, I would love to hear just more about, you know, boots on the ground, what the college students are facing as it comes to these conversations.
Yes. And one challenge now is social media, of course, Katie. So one of our students at Dickinson had posted something, a picture related to the presidential race in 2020. And she had more than 100 comments, a lot of which were negative, right away attacking her because of that, in a way that I feel like social media sometimes facilitates those negative interactions in a bad way. But she's kind of gone on and has done very well, but that experience really stuck with her. She flagged it for my team. And I'll say not all of the experiences are negative. A few of the women talked about how they've become known almost as the conservative girl on campus, and that their friends sort of acknowledge it and embrace it. And by almost naming it, it's made it okay. And so they play that role, they've built their relationships, and that's been okay. I feature one longer essay from a recent graduate, Abby Daniels from American University. And she writes about her experience. And she's one that if you would meet her, whether you're an introvert or extrovert, she's just friendly, and social, and she's somebody I write the most. It's like you'd want to be friends with. She's just, you know, a nice young woman. And she writes about how her strategy was to lead with her personality, not her politics. I thought that was a nice strategy and a nice way of putting it, that what she's found has worked is make sure you get to know people on a personal level. Make sure they get to know you as the kind, generous, compassionate person that you are before, you know, going right into controversial topics. So it was nice to include her voice as well. But I think that the key and one of the themes I hope emerges from this book is that I encourage college women to just be intentional with their choices, whether that's picking where to go to school or how to form that friend group. I include a whole chapter on, you know, how do you form that community? How do you build those friendships? To finding jobs and internships, to when you speak up in the classroom, just be intentional about it. And I think conservative students have to be more intentional than liberal students these days.
Yeah, I like it. You kind of alluded, a student unfortunately decided beforehand not to share their views, but with that same mind of deciding beforehand in a positive way, you know, creating community, and you find what you're looking for, right? And you'll find your people. I would argue, and I'm curious what you think, even the most, we'll say, liberal school will have pockets of more conservative-minded people. You just have to find what you're looking for. And that starts with speaking up and like, this is who I am, and this is, got to find my people, right? And again, with love and not dogmatic and not like, no one wants that on either side. So anyway, as it comes to creating community on campus, you write a lot about that. What does that look like? Let's talk to the student who, freshman or senior, really, just, you know, wanting to find their people. What does that look like?
Choir's really taking some proactive steps, right? Yeah. Sometimes we know you just sit next to someone at freshman orientation and they become your best friend, and that's great, but that doesn't work for everybody. So I encourage readers to do some things like, go to your summer orientation or freshman orientation. Make sure you go to the student activities fair. Seems like a lot of these universities have those. And seek out the like-minded organizations on campus and actually talk to the people at those tables, because there's groups who self-identify as conservative but have very different tones, right? Some are more activists. Some are more educational. You can find one, we hope, that has the tone that you like and that you're comfortable with and where you want to build that friend group. So I think going and actually talking with people who represent the organizations is a good strategy. Now you can follow different groups on social media. So you can see, you know, what is their tone on social media, but also find out practical things like, when are their meetings? And I encourage listeners, sometimes it's intimidating to go to those meetings. But remember, those organizations can't exist unless they have members. Yeah. So your incentives are aligned. They're excited to have new members and more people come to their meetings, just as you're excited to find a new group to join. So I would push through that fear or the nervousness of going to new meetings and know that they want you there. You're not intruding a space, you know, for some reason. Like they want to grow. They want to have new members. I think that's a good message to come across. So I think, you know, finding the student clubs, following social media, and then a lot of universities have a professor or a center that's known for being more conservative or more open-minded to conservatives. And I think finding that professor, when I was at UVA, one of the professors, Stephen Rhodes, people would point students to him when they were outspoken as conservatives. And I went to his office hours and got to know him well. And our relationship now extends beyond a professor-student relationship into a friendship. So I encourage students to find those professors who are known as being friendly to conservatives, because that can be a great resource. Katie, I include a chapter in there about finding faculty mentors, and even include an essay by a adjunct faculty member at UVA. Because I think sometimes speaking up, getting to know those professors can be a little bit intimidating. And that's something that these professors became professors in part because they want to help students. And so trying to break that barrier down and encourage students to build those relationships, because not only can it help students just feel more at home on campus. It can give them an intellectual home on campus, but also a lot of these professors can write letters of recommendation and serve as references for jobs or internships. So that can be a great relationship to build on campus.
And that's just good life advice. I was going to say, like, that's just good life advice. You know, like, I think school, even in college, it kind of lends itself to creating community. And hopefully if you show up and just come to some clubs, like, you'll find your people. But even those who are past college, like, you have to do the work. You have to go to the clubs. You have to go to the events. You have to go where the people are, as Ariel says, you know, and push past the awkward. And that's where the good stuff is. So anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt. That's just good life advice.
Yes, of course. And then also, Katie, I encourage readers to, you know, remember that they can find different friend groups to do different things with, right? Like, you might enjoy cheering on your school football team with a different group of friends than you cheer on your favorite political candidate. And that's fine. So I encourage them not to build an echo chamber, but also, you know, pursue their hobbies and find people that share common interests there. Because truly, I mean, I believe that it does everyone a disservice when there's a silencing going on campus, right? So when conservative students are silenced, they don't get the chance to explore the nuance of their views, to practice trying to persuade others. Liberals don't get the chance to hear other views, right, and sharpen their skills. And then when you think about the future of our country, it's not good if we're teaching a generation of people that they can't converse with people who think differently than they do. I don't think that's good. So I'm happy to be on your podcast. I'm glad you're sharing lots of voices, Katie.
Thank you. Yeah, I completely agree to not create an echo chamber and to be open-minded to lots of different conversations. And I think that that's why this conversation is so important, because if we say, by and large, on college campuses, there is liberal voices, great, but we need to have that balanced, and we need to have conservative voices as well. And we need to be open and have spaces and have these healthy debates to sharpen each other. Anyway, so love what you're doing.
Do you know that I offer online mentoring? I have options where you can just book a one-time call with me or get my digital course where I recorded all the things I go over most on mentoring calls. Whatever the case, I would love to be your big sis, adopted aunt, whatever you want to call me, and just help you know all the things I wish I knew when I was your age and walk into your best life sooner with less frustration. I'll put the link in the show notes of this episode. And now back to our conversation.
I've heard it said from college students that, for example, one of the professors made everyone in class write an essay proving why God does not exist. And there's millions of examples of things that are, here is your grade, I am the professor, I am telling you what to do, that goes completely against your beliefs. What do you tell your young women to do in those situations?
I do not envy them in this position.
Right? Yeah.
But it's real, and our students face these situations. So in the book, I write about some different strategies that our students have employed. And again, encourage readers to pick the strategy that would work best for them. So for example, some of our students' grades really matter, right? For grad school or for some reason. So some of them will say that they didn't speak up and just wrote the essay to get the grade because they were thinking long term, they needed the good grade to get into grad school. Now, I don't prefer that, but I think logically that makes sense in that situation. Whereas others spoke about how they really spoke up, they wrote what they thought, and in some cases, the professors were impressed with their arguments. And I include some strategies in there that if you're going to go that route, for example, know your audience. So maybe you're going to write about free speech. Well, if your professor is liberal, maybe you can find a liberal to quote on free speech, right? Like Barack Obama has spoken out about students shutting down speakers on campus. And Bill Maher has spoken out about the value of free speech. So one strategy might be to try to quote liberals to make your point in certain situations. So I think knowing your audience, that's one practical tip I include, and I include a few others. But I just encourage students to look at their situation and make an informed and intentional choice of what to do. One other thing I will mention there is I encourage students to ask themselves before they speak up in class, like, is this going to be productive? You know, is this going to move the conversation forward? Is this going to change someone's mind? Because I think sometimes we can all kind of get fired up and want to fight back. And there's a time and a place for that, which is great. But sometimes in class, you can actually be more persuasive and make more of a difference if you find a piece of an argument or some moment where you feel like you've got the strongest case, and then make it then, not just, you know, responding, you know, at all times to any argument that the other side makes, but finding when is it going to be most productive to speak up, I think is a good question that students can get in the habit of asking themselves.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just thinking about silly, but profound maybe, but I mean, when Jesus walked on this earth, it was a very controversial time to be alive. And everyone thought that he was blasphemy, and everyone thought that he was ridiculous, and everyone crucified this crazy man, you know? And we can look to examples right there of how he calmly, when it mattered, only spoke up at a few times, you know, and he just stayed the course. And I don't know, lots of examples to be found there for sure. But yeah, so I love what you guys are doing and just thankful for your work. Tell us about what you're doing, like on social media, and just even if they can't find a group on campus, and hopefully we argue that they can, but how you're creating communities online.
Well, we'd love for any of your listeners who are interested in getting involved in NEW to reach out. They can email chapters@enlightenedwomen.org or message us on social media, finding us at Enlightened Women on Instagram and Facebook, and at NEW Network on Twitter. Give it a little plug there, Katie.
Yeah, you should.
So they can find us on those social media platforms. Also, I'm on Instagram at Karin, Karin.lips, and then at klips on Twitter. So they can follow us on social media. That's often a first step of engagement. And then we would encourage young women who want to get more involved to reach out, and we'd be interested in talking with them about starting a chapter. To start a chapter on their campus, we usually encourage them to find a couple other peers to start it with them. So it can be a team effort, including somebody who's an underclassman, so that it can continue beyond when they graduate. Also, often then it's different friend groups, so it's easier to recruit when it's not just, you know, you and your best friends in the same year. So encourage them to start that chapter, to create that community. And I encourage young women, it's often feels lonely until you speak out. And then once you speak out, other people will say, oh yeah, I have those views too, or, you know, I'd like to get involved. But it takes that first person standing up and speaking out to really make a difference. And so encourage women to be that almost like flag for conservative principles on college campuses. So they can start a chapter, get involved. If they're not quite interested in starting a chapter, but want to be involved in the organization, they can go to our website and become a member for just $5 a year. And that will give them access to different conferences, our member newsletter, and other resources, so they can start to be part of the community. Because again, that community building is important, whether that's in person on campus or even just being part of an online community. I don't know about you, Katie, but I mean, so much of what I see on Instagram when it comes to the women's empowerment movement is all from a liberal or left-leaning perspective. And so I often spend time going through and saying, that stat doesn't make sense. Let me actually look at that, and then debunking that. And so I think it's good to have a resource or a place you can go to get conservative views on things. And we do it in a creative way. I appreciate your creativity, Katie.
Thank you.
But we try to do some creative, you know, creative memes and videos and reels for our audience as well.
No, I love that. And yeah, it's funny because I'm often booked as a women's empowerment speaker, and I'm like, thank you, you know, flattered. But then, you know, a lot of things that I see is women's empowerment, I'm like, oh, hookup, find me the proof how hookup culture is empowering women, because it ain't.
Right. Totally different view of what women's empowerment means. And I think our view, what we're promoting in NEW, is much actually better for and healthier for women. And also, I should mention that our relationship doesn't end with young women just when they graduate. We encourage women to stay involved. We have a professional network so we can continue that relationship with them. And many of our alums will mentor some of our students. So it's great to keep everyone connected to the organization.
Amazing. Well, thank you for what you're doing on the internet. And $5 a year, you said, to join, that's amazing.
Yeah. For students, yes. So we what just really want to get them connected. Yes, they should do it.
Less than a coffee at Starbucks.
I know. Those prices these days.
Woo! I know, right? Well, I'm so thankful for what you're doing and just help, you know, get your voice out there. As the book implies, helping young women on college campuses and beyond not feel alone. So can't wait to put this on the internet and share your voice with others.
Well, thank you so much, Katie, and appreciate your work and really appreciate you featuring our voice. So thank you.
Of course.
If you enjoyed this episode, I would enjoy you sharing it with a friend. If you take a screenshot and share it on your social, make sure you give me a tag at Katie Bulmer Life, and I will definitely make sure I respond. And thank you so much for sharing the love. Hey, and if you're new to the podcast, make sure you scroll back. We have over 100 episodes interviewing experts and 20-somethings and everyone in between, tackling all the hottest topics you wish you knew, but maybe just don't. This is called the Truth for Your 20s podcast, and I'm so thankful that you are here.